talk from the book of Job about new fruit from an old root. Now, I know that you're only a teenager, but you're already getting old to the little guys. They have to look up at you and they want to be like you. And as wonderful as the last 17 years has been, that's how it's going to be with the next 17. Now, I have, I had a birthday this week as well. I'm 77, man. Double sevens. That's getting closer to perfection. It's not there yet, but I'm working on it. But I want to talk about the future as well. New fruit from an old root. This passage of Scripture came alive to me, and it's become one of my principles of life that I live by now. That if we're not careful, we die before our time. We're like the young man that died at age 25. They buried him when he was 65. Now, what do they mean by that? They mean for the last 40 years of his life, he did nothing but repeat the past. He didn't learn anything new. He didn't go anywhere new. He just kept repeating the past again and again. Don't do that. Don't do that. Keep living. Let Christ live through you. New fruit from an old root. Yes. In Job, the 14th chapter, verse 7 through 9, and you may have heard this at funerals. Well, this is certainly not a funeral. And I think that if we understood it at funerals, we would be hooping and hollering in funerals. He says, "For there is hope." Everybody say hope. That's what our world is desperately short on. Hope. Hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease, though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Hallelujah. Now, if God will do that for a tree, you're more value than a tree. You're worth more, much more than a tree. I want to talk about that, hope in our life. And I want to divide it in three different areas. The first one I want to talk about is old roots. Now, I identify with that. I've been around a long time. I've been preaching 65 years. And there was a time when that energized me. Now it makes me tired. I've got like 4 million miles almost with American Airlines alone. That's not talking about 60 other airlines I've flown around the world. I feel I have preached the gospel around the world at least 150 to 160 times. I've given it all to Jesus. I don't regret a mile I've traveled for him. I'm an old root. Now, what I've come to understand is the whole earth operates on seasons of cycles. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. Even if you live in the tropics, they still have wet season and dry season. If you live, and we were living in Kentucky now, and I love to see the seasonal change. It's so clear there, particularly among and the farmers and the farmland that of the winter. We're getting ready to enter into winter now, and then it comes spring, and then there's summer, and then there's autumn, and it repeats itself. See, the seasons of cycles that we all go through. And this is a biblical principle that God created in Genesis, the 8th chapter, verse 22. God says, while the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, it shall not cease. It continues. These these seasons that we go through. And so as long as we live, one of the best things you can determine is, what season am I in? It's like in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. And he says, he brings forth fruit in his season. There's nothing sadder in this life than to see someone who missed their season. They think it's springtime when actually they're entering into winter. That's a big mistake. There's nothing sadder than to see a grandmother dressed up like a teenager. You want to say, don't you know what season you're in? You're in a beautiful season of life if you know what season it is. And there's nothing worse either than to see an adult acting like a baby. So we all can relate to that, can't we? What season are we in? This is what we call the cycle of something old, something new. We all need that. Every one of us needs to develop good roots so we can develop young shoots. You've got to have both roots and branches to be fruitful and productive in life. So I've got a lot of old roots. I've got to determine, how can I develop young shoots? Because I'm not young anymore. And I've seen it with my own eyes, and it makes me want to cry when I see an old man. I'm just a young man. And they say, go look in the mirror. That season is over. Yes, it was wonderful. But now, how are you going to produce new life at this season of your life? Now, there's two points I want to give you concerning the old roots. Number one, everybody needs a good root system. Without good roots, you cannot produce fruit. It's impossible. You've got to have the roots. It's our roots that help us live productive lives. They bring stability to our lives. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about roots in a church, in a family, in a community? We're talking about long-term relationships, covenant relationships. And I want to slow down here for a moment, because it's tragic. The statistics are almost the same in the church as they are in the world. In the United States, of those that get married, one half of them get a divorce. That's heartbreaking. Why? Because that's a part of your root system. And I've seen it over and over again that couples get unhappy with each other and end up in a divorce, and then they get remarried. Guess what? They remarry somebody like the person they divorced. Why? Because you are attracted to certain kinds of people. That's why. All of us are made that way. There's some people we like, some we don't like. Now, I know we love everybody, but some people, we love them at a distance, you know. You love everybody, but you sure wouldn't want to live with everybody. It's those long-term relationships that's formed out of covenant. Now, while I'm talking about it, let me mention the church. Because so many people trade churches like going to a different cafe. I want Mexican today. I want Italian. Oh, let's have some Cajun food. I've had some wonderful Cajun because I can't get it hardly anywhere else in the United States. Good Cajun food. And we do churches the same way. We swap churches over styles of music, styles of preaching, all the different things. What you're not going to get back is the time you've invested in that last church, in your last marriage. You're never going to get it back again. It's gone. You threw it away. to marry somebody just like the one you left. That's really smart, isn't it? Long-term relationships, and I don't have time to develop it, but just covenant relationships means you make a commitment to each other, a long-term commitment. See, that's what makes families so important. It's because it doesn't matter where you go, you still got the same mama and the same daddy. God created it that way. And that's why you are here. Now, it's the same with churches. And please, please, I know there are times that God moves us to different places for reasons. But most people just change because they're unhappy with something. Don't let unhappiness be your decision maker. Don't allow unhappiness to be at the wheel of your life. I got to get off of this, but you know I'm telling you the truth. Covenant relationships is what forms our root system. Now, I'm a strong believer in this. Strong believer. That's why Evelyn and I celebrated 55 years of marriage this year. Oh, what a blessing she has been in my life. I've said it so many times because I was such a young zealot for Jesus. Oh, my. I was giving everything I had, but I wasn't being wise. And so Jesus saved my soul. Evelyn saved my life. I would have killed myself as a young zealot. I was already having health issues in my early 20s. And it was because I was abusing my body. And it wasn't wise. I wouldn't be here today and functioning if it wasn't for that gracious lady. She's kept me alive. Covenant relationships. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about old roots. Without them, we can't produce anything that is lasting. They provide the stability for life because life is very unsettled at times. And I'm going to talk about this more as I go through this message. But we're getting ready to enter into a period of extreme unsettledness in not just the United States, the whole world. That's where we're going. That's the direction. But if you've got deep roots, you don't have to be afraid. Now, roots. You seldom see the roots. They're really not that pretty. We don't even like to look at them. They're hidden beneath the ground. But they are what helps the tree to stand upright. It provides stability to your life. Like, for instance, the palm tree. It said the roots of the palm tree go as deep beneath the ground as the tree stands above the ground. That's why they can withstand hurricane force winds that just blow them over horizontal with the ground. But after the wind stopped blowing, the tree starts straightening up again because they've got deep roots. We all need that. Now, that brings me to the second thought. My second thought about roots is we need deep roots. Deep roots. Now, everybody has roots, but some have never developed their root system. Here's the reasons why. Shallow roots are easily affected by the changing weather pattern. For instance, now they tell me here in New Orleans that it's been really hot and dry. If you got deep roots, no problem, because you tap into the water that's beneath the surface. And that's what you got to have. Haven't you seen fair weather Christians? And every time something goes wrong, they get mad at God. Jesus said, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." And that's the problem for some people. They're not, like they say of Cain and Abel. Cain was angry at God and took it out on his brother. Have you ever been beat up by somebody that was mad at God? Oh, my. Shallow roots. They're affected by the changing weather. But deep roots help us in the dry times of life, during the storms of life. We need deep roots. And so I put it like this. Don't discard relationships like an old worn tire on your car. So many people just throw it away. That's a mistake, friend. That's a big mistake, because that's what the kingdom of God is built on: relationships. God is not just our creator. God is our Father. We have a relationship with him, and that's what makes the difference. Now, here's the second thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about new branches. Believe it or not, one time I was a young man, long time ago. Sometimes I had to get pictures out to remind me, but because who is that old man in the mirror? Oh, my. You'll get there quick enough. Don't wish your life away. New branches. Here's the reason we need the branches. We all need new fruit in our lives. Without it, life is going to be miserable. There's not going to be a lot of sweetness in your life unless you've got some new fruit. That's why you got to be producing it. I love what you were saying a moment ago, Pastor, about we're going to focus on raising up another generation. We're going to focus on the little guys. That's the future. That is the future. They are the ones that will produce the fruit. I have to understand that. I cannot produce the fruit anymore. I know I'm preaching like a young man now, but I'll pay the price for it a couple of hours from now. I'll be laying down somewhere to recharge my battery. Whereas when I was a young man, I'd be looking for somebody else to preach to, you know. I mean, the fire's still there, but the energy is gone. See, it's not enough to have a good root system. That's important. Without that, you're not going to have new shoots. You're not going to have fruit. But the roots cannot produce the fruit unless you're a peanut. I don't want to be a peanut. Amen? Roots. The roots don't produce the fruit. The roots feed the branches. The branches produce the fruit. That's the way that it is created. As the branches, as they shoot out, that's where the new life comes. And it begins to produce the fruit. The roots feed the branches. The branches provide the opportunities for new growth. Someone as well said, be nice to the little guy on his way up, because you'll probably meet him on your way down. There's a lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in that. That the guy that you train for the job is now your boss. Oh, it got quieter then. No hand claps on that, but you know it's the truth. It is the truth. The same happens in the church. The same thing happens in the family. Man, I love those days when my children were small. They loved to ride on my back. We don't do that anymore. I'd end up either with a chiropractor or in the hospital one, you know. We just don't do that anymore. I loved it when my grandchildren come along, and I can still remember my granddaughter. She loved to run, and she'd, run, Poppy, run. And Poppy, okay, and I'm just trying to keep my breath and stay up with her, but that's gone. I can't do that anymore. Does that mean I don't have value? Not at all. And one of the greatest delights of my life, in fact, I posted the picture on social media, on Facebook, my grandchildren. I have to look up to my grandchildren. My grandson is taller than I am. And my granddaughter, when she puts on those high heels that she loves, is taller than me. You're getting quiet now. This is a part of life. But I have no greater joy, the Apostle John said, than to see my children walking in truth. That becomes my delight. I become the cheerleader. Oh, hallelujah. See, fruit is always new. In fact, if it's not a new fruit, it's probably rotten. Amen. It doesn't last too long. It always has a short shelf life. You got to sell it quickly, keep moving it, because fruit doesn't stay new. But all fruit is new. And when it's new fruit, man, there's nothing like it. We moved into an area where there's a lot of the Amish people. And the Amish, they love organic vegetables and fruit. They like to do it the old time way. They're very traditional. But I tell you one thing, they can produce fruit and vegetables that is wonderful. This new fruit that we need in our lives. Here's the second point I will make about the branches. Fruit grows from new growth. Let me back up and replay that. Because some of you are trying to produce fruit when you've got to shift gears mentally and start producing new branches. Stop trying to produce the fruit. Start producing the branches. But it's this new growth that will keep us from dying. That's why I said the last 17 years has been wonderful, but wait till you see the next 17 years. Oh, my, 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 my. New fruit. For instance, it keeps our minds learning. What I'm doing right now, you know how I learned how to do this? From a young person. It's the young people that, it's new to us, but they're just starting in life. And so it's natural for them to learn it. That's why your grandchild, son or daughter, can probably run your iPhone better than you can. Do things that you can't do. Because they're growing up with that. It keeps our minds learning. And that's so sad to see older people that have checked out of life. They're not learning anything new because they don't have any young friends. They don't have any sons or daughters or grandsons or granddaughters that they're mentoring and training and equipping. And you're going to die before your time. Don't do that. Don't die before your time. Keep learning. You can't do it yourself, but they can help you do it. Oh, I still hate it, but I have to do it. Call to my daughter who now is my IT person. She helps me so much. And Carrie, this computer, I can't get it to do. It's stuck again. I can't get it to do. And she'll come in. She'll look at it for a second. She'll do, do, do. It's okay now, Dad. And she's out the door. Makes me so aggravated. I've been working on that thing for 45 minutes. Trying to figure out what's wrong with it. And are you listening? We need some new branches in our life. New shoots. So one of the best things that I can do is start producing new shoots. Many people are not developing anything new. In fact, we get real self-righteous about it, don't we? We're like the man that said, the older I get, the more I like it the way it was. Or like the quote you were quoting me, the older I live, the harder it is to stay alive. Oh, that's true. It's very true. And it's not only true for me as an individual and for you as an individual, it's true for churches. Churches. That's why there's so many dead churches. It's not because they're bad people. They're not bad people. And I thank God that they're going to go to heaven because they're sure miserable down here. Amen. You're laughing because you know it's the truth. That's why I love the worship. And thank God you had young people that was helping. That's great. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way that you produce new fruit. Now, what you have to do is design your thinking, train your mind to be this way. Always be looking for new opportunities. You've got to program your brain to do that. Because the truth is, most opportunities come disguised as problems. I thank God for COVID. No, not for all the bad things that happened, but for the good things that happened. Oh, my. Some good things. I remember our grandson, COVID changed his life. Because though he's a teenager, suddenly it dawned on him. I could die. And first of all, it scared him. As everybody ought to get scared. If you're not ready to die, you ought to be scared to die. And it changed his life. It changed his relationship with God. It changed the way that he views life. And COVID did that. It was an answer to our prayers that God took something very bad and turned it into something good for us. See, you, Katrina, thank God for Katrina. It blew you off of Weedman Street. Amen. For years, I told Brother Hunt, you need a new location. You need, and I couldn't get a new location. Maybe it wasn't the time. Maybe it wasn't time for the branch, whatever. But thank God Katrina blew them off that street. And here you are today in a facility that's 2-3 times bigger with a full house of people. Thank God. Look for the opportunities. If all you see is the problem, you're going to live a very miserable life. Because it's this new vision, renewed vision and hope, we will die. You've got to have it. Something has to be there to cause you to get out of bed and put your shoes on. Something that keeps you going. I keep having people constantly, the number one question I face all the time is, how long are you going to do this? When are you going to retire? I say, you're thinking secularly. I understand if I work for some companies, I'd look for retirement. But I'm not working for some companies. In fact, this is just not a profession. It's not just a vocation. It's a call of God. And as long as I can feed new branches and produce new fruit, why should I stop doing what I love the most? Do you understand? You've got to be projecting hope and vision. One other thing I want to say about the branches, because this is where we get in trouble, particularly as we begin to age. You've got to cut something out if you're going to produce something new. You go back and you look, you study history or look at nature. I give you a picture there of a grapevine. Where do the grapes grow? Where you pruned the branches, it produces a new shoot, and that's what produces the grapes. The grapes don't grow on the old branches. They grow on the new branches. So you got to cut something off. What is it you're willing to cut off? What is it you're willing? And this is the big word. Sacrifice. Yes, it hurts to cut anything. It hurts. Yes, you will cry. Yes, you will bleed. Just celebrate it and bury it and go on. It's tough to do that because many times these are the things that have become so special to us, so dear to us. But there comes a time that, for instance, in my life, Evelyn and I used to lead worship when we were young. Not as good as they did, but we did good. In fact, something I learned, all you got to be is just a little bit better than they are, and they'll let you sing. Sometimes a little bit louder than they are. But there come a time I put my guitar in the case. Not because I didn't enjoy playing it. I did. I had a lot of fun. And I was worshiping Jesus. What could be better than that? But if I'm going to become a great Bible teacher, I got to cut everything else out and just devote myself to the Word of God. It's like the young man that said, I wish I knew the Bible like you do. See, I didn't get it by wishing, son. You got to cut everything else out for this one thing I do. And that's where you begin to produce new shoots with new fruit. Now, oh my, I want to preach a sermon on every point. Look at the third thing I want to say to you. Fresh rain. Fresh rain. I love the way that the scripture reads this, where it says, at the scent of the water. The first thing I want to say about the rain is, it will rain again. I'm prophesying to you, but I'm prophesying from experience. I promise you, it will rain again. I know you've been experiencing a drought. It will rain again. And soon you'll be dealing with the opposite problem, too much water. It will rain again. It always does. Now, the rain, of course, is a very good picture of the Holy Spirit descending upon us, moving among us. Oh my. When you experience those times of special moving of the Holy Spirit, it's special. You ought to enjoy it. One of the sad things that happens to us is when God stops moving, we keep trying to move God. It's a mistake. You're not God, and you're in no position to tell God what to do. We're just not that good. We're not that smart. We're not that wise. So what we need to do, instead of praying, oh God, and tell God what we want him to do, give God all of our smart ideas, we need to be what they were singing about a few minutes ago, surrendering ourselves totally to him. Use me however you want to use me. Do whatever you want to do. I can rejoice in being an old root as long as I'm producing new shoots, because I know they're going to produce fruit. The Holy Spirit moves. It's like a picture of the rain occurs when heaven kisses earth. The moisture causes new life to spring up and begin growing. It's wonderful. I promise you, it will happen again. It will rain again. Not just in the natural, but also in the supernatural. God is not dead. He's not asleep. He's not forgotten where we are, who we are, or what we're going through. He knows all of that. So instead of us spending so much time telling God what we think he forgot, we need to be bringing ourselves into harmony with heaven and saying, not my will, but yours be done. It doesn't matter if it's a cross, because I know the cross will lead to a resurrection. The resurrection will lead to an ascension to the throne of God. God always works this way. Oh, my. The way Job put it, at the scent of water. Now listen to that. He didn't say it will rain and then the plant will move. No. When the plant just scents, it's going to rain. The rain's coming. It's coming. And that's when it moves. Boy, that is important. And that's my second point about the fresh rain. We've got to learn how to anticipate the rain. That's what makes old codgers like me so important in the church. I've seen it rain before. And like I used to, you know, as a boy, I can remember my grandpa and, you know, some of those that were older than that. It's going to rain. And he's, I can feel it in my bones, he'd say. Anybody ever had that? It's going to rain. I can smell it. And they can. Why? Because they've been through it before. At the scent of the rain is the proper time to respond. If you wait, you're trying to catch up. And that's what too many people are always doing. I'm not opposed to going to a revival somewhere. Spirit of God's doing something. And it's like, for instance, there's general rains that just covers the whole land. But during summer, we have a lot of these isolated thunder showers. That means it's raining there, but it's not raining here. Or it may be raining here, but it's not raining there. It's an isolated shower. And you can go to the place where it's raining and be refreshed. But guess what? It's not a big rain. It's not going to change anything. It just keeps things alive. But the general rains, man, they cover the whole land. It's raining here. It's raining there. It's raining everywhere. It just, and that's where resurrection, restoration comes. It changes things. So at the scent of the rain, that's when we need to respond. Don't wait until it begins raining to act. Good leaders do this. Good leaders anticipate what's going to happen. They're able to read the signs, the signals. They know what's going to happen, so they're able to get ahead of everybody else. They're able to really get the benefit out of this because they didn't just come with an umbrella. They came with their buckets. They come ready to receive something they can take home with them. Good leaders do that. That's why the old roots are important. The old root in the ground has seen it rain before, and they know what's going to happen. So at the scent of the rain, it starts shooting out, budding out these new leaves. New shoots start growing because it's going to rain. And that's one of the things I want to say particularly to you as young people. I know you're smart. You are talented. You amaze me, some of the things that you do. But what you are not, you're not wise. Oh, yes, you may be wiser than your peers, but there's no such thing as a wise young person. Because you haven't lived long enough. Your friends haven't lived long enough to have these scars. Now, these scars, these experiences that we've gone through, when you get my age, you got a lot of scars. For a teenager, everything is a crisis. When you get my age, almost nothing is a crisis. Amen. It's like the man said, don't sweat the small stuff. Second rule, almost everything is small stuff. And that is true when you get my age. That's where wisdom comes in. And that's why you need to build relationships with old codgers like me, just like I need young friends like you. We need each other. The new sprout may not look or act. I ought to change that because they almost never look or act like the old. But it honors the old because it understands that's what feeds it. Wow. And this is where I can have value today. It's not so much what I can do. It's all those young preachers and ministers that I can feed them, share wisdom with them. Don't do this. Dear man of God, that some of you, probably most of you, have heard of Dr. Charles Green. How I honor and bless his memory. He died a year or two ago at 95. Still just as sharp as could be. It's one of the things, one of the treasures we lost from COVID. I remember calling Dr. Green, and he hated to hear me say that. He said, "Don't you call me that. I'll hang up on you." But Brother Green, what a man of God. I called him one day asking him some questions about apostolic ministry and such. Here was his response. He says, "I'm not going down that road. We tried that back in 1954 and it didn't work." Thank God for him. He saved me a lot of mistakes. But we all need somebody in our life that can say, "We tried that back and it didn't work." Because you don't have time to make all the mistakes. You'll run out of time. So if you can learn from somebody else, that's wisdom. That's really being smart. You didn't figure it out, but they figured it out because what they went through, you don't have to go through that problem. You can learn from their wisdom. So simply honor them for who they are and let them give you the wisdom, the insight that you need. Another way of saying this is, before we remove the fence, we should find out why they put the fence up in the first place. There might be a reason on the other side of the fence. I got to tell you, it's just a story, but it applies so well. The government man that came to see the farmer and said, "We want to inspect your property. We're thinking about putting whatever it was the government was going to do on through his land." And he said, "So I need to go over here." And the farmer said, "I wouldn't do that if I were you." And you know how farmers can be so blunt, particularly the old ones. And the government's man, this young man, said, "I've got the papers. Here's the authority. I've been authorized to do it. I'm going to go there." "I wouldn't do that if I were you." "And I'm going." And he climbs, hops over the fence, and he goes just short ways and meets the farmer's bull that was in that field. And man, the bull spots him and starts snorting and chasing him. And the man's yelling, "Help, help, somebody help me." And the farmer said, "Show him your papers." That's a good story. Before you take the fence down, find out why they put it up. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Now, I want to close this. And I'd like for the musicians and singers to get ready. We're going to worship God here in just a few moments. It's beginning to rain. I can smell it. I can feel it in my bones. It's there. I awakened this morning and my Spirit of God was just so real in that hotel room. Just so real. I want to prophesy to somebody. I want to You're just fire burning. I sense it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming for you. You got to be ready for it. God wants to give us a new season of growth. And it will not be like it was before. It's going to change. It's going to be different. And you're going to have to learn to look at life through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of the Spirit. Stop looking at people's hairdo and start being able to see their heart. Amen. Amen. We get so hung up on trivia, things that don't matter. That 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you won't even remember what was it we had that fight about. Because it's over. But it's going to rain. People ask me probably the number one question that I'm asked about ministry is, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to Israel? Do you believe this is the end? They're all asking that question. It's one thing I know for sure. The day of his appearing is closer than when we first believed. We've never been this close before. Scared? No. I'm excited. This is what we live for. This is what, I saw this in COVID. So many people, so many Christians, afraid they're going to see Jesus. That does not compute with me as a believer. He's my best friend. It's going to rain. It will come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon the young and the old will I pour out of my Spirit. The time is coming, Jesus said. Fear shall come upon the earth. And men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking at those things happening on the earth. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.